let me introduce Jerry White. That's J-E-R-E, White as in the color. Mr. White is chairman of the Tri-Z Network. Following Mr. White will be Professor Don Corsi. That's C-O-U-R-S-E-Y. Professor Corsi is with the University of Chicago, professor of public policy studies. And with that, Mr. White, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mike. First, I also want to thank all of you for joining us today. For those of you that I do not already know, my day job is working for Kansas corn and grain sorghum farmers. The Tri-Z Network is a nationwide coalition comprised of farmers and agricultural groups who raise crops, crops that have safely fed livestock and people for years, and who are concerned about issues regarding the regulation of anthracene, one of the triazine herbicides. We raise over 30 crops in over 40 states, crops as diverse as citrus, grapes, grain sorghum, nuts, field corn, vegetables, Christmas trees, and sugarcane, and we see firsthand the critical benefits of the triazines, including anthracene, on every one. Anthracene, and indeed all pesticides, are constantly threatened by activist actions, and more recently, trial lawyer litigation. More concerning, however, is the response of U.S. EPA in introducing an unplanned and unprecedented new review in response to activist pressure. I will introduce Dr. Corsi in a moment, but first let me describe our agenda this morning. Dr. Corsi has written a piece that all of you have received in your kits electronically, along with other information that makes a broad estimate of job losses should EPA cede to activist calls for an anthracene ban. He will present that and then take questions from the reporters, and I'm also happy to reply to questions from the grower standpoint. Let me be clear that no one cares more about the safety of agricultural pesticides than the farmers who use them on their farms. It's where we live, it's where we raise our children. We understand that we have an important stake in keeping our land, rivers, and ponds safe, not only for our families, but for our communities. If sound scientific research finds that anthracene or any agricultural pesticide cannot be used safely, we will be the first to agree with increased regulation. But sound scientific research has found repeatedly that anthracene is safe. This current EPA re-review, predicated by activist-fed media reports and their citation of shoddy science, has not shown any reason for a change in the agency's recent determination that indeed anthracene is safe to use on our farms. Several years ago, I remember getting a call from Don Corsi. Certainly, it's not every day that a corn guy in Kansas gets a call from the University of Chicago and an economist there. He had a very simple request. Don told me he had decided to work with Syngenta to determine the value of anthracene to our economy in a broader sense. I thought that was a good idea and that many of us had hoped someone would do that for a long time. We certainly were aware that the farm gate value of anthracene was large. We understood that. We also knew most of the country does not see the world from inside our farming community. All Don asked of me was to keep him in line with the experience of the growers. I appreciated that, kind of a gut check with the real world, and I said I would. Since then, Don has published one paper on anthracene with the Illinois Farm Bureau, and I know he has another one that is almost ready to come out. But before that, with all the talk from the activists who oppose conventional agriculture and the difficulties we face in our economy and jobs picture, Don decided to take a quick look at job losses from banning anthracene. I think he has thought this through very well. The outcome was shocking to me. I know how debilitating job losses are to small rural communities. I live in one. It is a story that must be told, and that is why the Tri-Z Network is pleased to host him this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, please, Dr. Don Corsi.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you, Jerry, for that lovely introduction, and thank you even more so for the years of support for my work in this project that you've provided. I've been a professional economist for 30 years. I've had the opportunity to testify before Congress, to work with the Departments of Interior, State, National Intelligence. I've been involved in a lot of litigation, lawsuits having to do with the environment and energy. Worked for corporations, I've worked for think tanks, I've worked for various NGOs, I've worked extensively over my 30 years with the United States EPA, and finally I've worked with foreign governments around the world. And this has been a great diversity of experiences that go beyond my teaching and research at the University of Chicago. And this work has taken me all over the place intellectually, but one thing that binds all the work I've done previously together is the fact that no one No one has ever asked me to consider removal of a safe and well-respected product from marketplace. Most of what we talk about when we talk about a modern economy like ours is what's new and what is good about that thing that's new. A few weeks ago, it was the buzz that was discussed about the iPhone version 4. Is that a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Is it a marginal improvement? Is it a great improvement? Will it change the world of personal interaction, business interaction? Who knows? But while products get old and wear out and are superseded by other products, it's very rarely the case that a well-known product is removed from the marketplace. So when Syngenta approached me 5 years ago to consider such a circumstance, I had to sit and scratch my head for a while, because again, I'm not used to thinking about taking something like atrazine off the marketplace, a product that's been around for half of a century and plays such a big role in agriculture in this country and in other countries around the world. And I decided I would take this on, and I'm here to talk with you today about the work that I've done over these years. As Jerry noted, I have one published study from this work already that's available online from the Illinois Farm Bureau. This work is in the process of being updated, and a new version will be available very shortly. But basic takeaway point today is that a ban on atrazine at the national level will have a devastating effect upon the U.S. corn economy. And I want to explain, in my time that's remaining here this morning, why I think that. I'll also direct you to your email. Everything that I'm talking about today, especially the statistics, are available in your handouts that were provided in that email. And there's also an attached PowerPoint slideshow that, among other things, will take you through the logic, the arithmetic, and it's not complicated mathematics, the arithmetic that leads me to each of the numbers I'm about to cite to you today. So when Syngenta originally contacted me, I was charged with looking at something a little bit smaller than what we're going to talk about this morning. They asked me to consider a ban on atrazine in Illinois. And atrazine is used on other products in Illinois, but not in any big way. When you're talking about a ban on atrazine in Illinois, you're talking about affecting corn farmers, the great majority. First question is, what will that mean? What alternatives, if atrazine is not around, will farmers pursue? And what will be the economic consequences of these pursuits? First thing I looked at is, well, one option for a farmer, would atrazine be banned in Illinois, is to look at alternative herbicides. We know by looking at this data, however, though, that atrazine has been and is the least expensive herbicide for dealing with the problems that farmers face in Illinois. So moving to an alternative to atrazine will increase farming costs. Other alternatives to move much more broadly technologically and move out of traditional corn farming into GMO corn farming. And over the past 4 or 5 years that I've been working on this project, we started with 40% GMO corn cropping. Now we're up close to around 80%. Clearly, that's an option that's been going on even without a ban on atrazine. GMO costs are higher than many traditional techniques. They involve glyphosate, and indeed, they involve currently the use of a lot of atrazine as well. Whether you choose in Illinois the alternative of using alternative herbicide or moving to GMO technology, in either case, you're going to also experience yield losses. Right? GMO and alternatives to atrazine will lower corn yields in the Illinois region. If you look at the numbers in my handouts, my tables, my report, you're going to see that I'm reporting ranges. And the reason I'm reporting the ranges are twofold. One, it's scientifically more accurate to report a range, a best interval, as opposed to a point estimate that no one could take seriously, much too accurate. Secondly, this range reflects the various assumptions between what would happen to yield losses were atrazine banned. And the range ranges from if atrazine is banned, it's going to have a large effect, to if atrazine is banned, it's going to have a very large effect. Putting this all together, what I found is that a ban on atrazine in Illinois would result in a roughly $26 to $50 acre loss in value to Illinois corn farmers, $26 per acre all the way to $58 per acre. Another way of looking at this is to note that if you apply that to the total corn acreage in Illinois, that would be between $166 and $450 million per year of lost earnings. $166 to $450 million per year. These results, which are based upon my expert and detailed study, are corroborated by the fact that the EPA, independently of my work, says that a number of $28 per acre is roughly the impact of atrazine on Illinois farming, or excuse me, national farming of corn. And I'll note that that $28 from the EPA falls right within the range of my $26 to $58 per acre. I was asked today to talk about not a potential ban on atrazine in Illinois, but rather a potential ban on atrazine in the United States. All right. Illinois is the state that I know the most about. I obtained this range of $26 to $58 per acre associated with an atrazine ban. States north of Illinois have different climates than Illinois, as well as states south, east, and west have different water, so forth and so on. But it's probably not an overly heroic assumption to apply the similar figure that I obtained for Illinois, $26 to $58 per acre, to the corn-growing area in the middle of the country. And if you do that, you find that the total loss in corn to corn farmers of a national ban on atrazine would be between $2.3 and $5.0 billion per year. $2.3 to $5.0 billion per year. So we can go in a discussion this morning a variety of different ways starting from that number. What does that mean in a policy context? How important is that relative to other policy questions? But what I've been charged to do with you this morning is ask, what does that mean in the context of jobs? Were atrazine to be banned for corn farming in the United States, what effect would that have on jobs? So I'll cite this figure again. The national losses would be between $2.3 and $5 billion per year. If you look at total GDP and divide by the labor force consisting of people that are working and those people that are not working or are unemployed and would like to be working, you do that simple calculation and you find that each member of the labor force, on average, is contributing about $93,000 to GDP. Again, divide GDP by the size of the labor force, and you find that each average worker contributes $93,000 to U.S. GDP. Some people contribute less, perhaps some people contribute more. That's an average. Combining that figure with the $2.3 to $5 billion a year loss and applying it in a first brush through the economy to the entire labor force, right? A ban on atrazine in the United States would produce a loss of 21,000 to 48,000 jobs at the national level. Right? If you sit back and think about that a little bit more, you'd think, well, that's not quite perhaps the best way to think about a ban on atrazine and jobs in the United States. It would be unlikely that a ban on atrazine would affect the steel industry or the textiles industry or an accounting firm in Chicago, for instance. But the second way of looking at it is, what if atrazine were banned and all the unemployment were to go into the agricultural sector of the United States, what would be its effect there? And the answer is that unemployment would increase by 2.6%. And I want to be very, very careful when I cite this number of 2.6%. That does not mean that it's 12% now, which it roughly is in the agricultural sector, unemployment, and it's going to go up by 2.6% of that. No. If it's 12% now, that means it will go from 12% to 14.6%. That is, 12 plus 2.6 equals 14.6%. And now, I started off by saying that a ban on atrazine at the national level would be devastating. Here come some numbers to corroborate that. The third way of looking at the job implications of a national atrazine ban is, what if all the job losses would occur, would be this, and what if all the job losses would occur in the corn-growing subsection of agriculture? That is just the corn sector. And there, what we find is that starting from the current unemployment rates of roughly about 11%, you double that either to 10.9 plus 11 or as much as increase of 25% more. That is 11 plus 25 or into the high 30% unemployment rate in the corn sector. And that's why I feel justified in using this word devastating. I would also add that a good 90 to 95% of the impact in the corn sector would be felt by small rural family farms. The great producers, the great majority of producers of corn in this country are small rural family farms. So you're going to be hitting that part of the population the hardest by an atrazine ban. Every time we do something in the area of policy, particularly considering an example of a nitrazine ban in the United States here in the corn economy, there's unintended consequences. There's surprises. And sometimes we can predict some of these. Sometimes they are true surprises. We don't find them out until after we change the policy. But there are certain indirect effects here that I want to point out that would clearly occur were atrazine to be banned in the United States. The first has to do with conservation tillage. We have been very successful in this country in the last 20 to 25 years in promoting conservation tillage. Were atrazine to be banned, there'd be, at the margin, less proclivity of farmers to want to use conservation tillage. As you're well aware, atrazine is important in the ability to not have to till the fields in the spring to begin with. Take the atrazine away, may not be able to afford the conservation tillage, which means there's going to be more runoff, which means that in an unintended consequence, a ban on atrazine would actually perhaps hurt drinking water and other water sources. Secondly, I mentioned early on in my talk that atrazine and corn are probably the most connected herbicide and crop, but atrazine is also important to crops like sorghum and sugarcane. And indeed, the effect on yields for sugarcane might be even more than the effect on yields for corn due to atrazine. EPA has estimated that atrazine in the use of sugarcane production increases yields between 10 and 40% per crop. Put that in an economic number, that's between $89 and $340 million a year. 10 to 40% increase in yield, $90 to $340 million per year benefit. The numbers that I presented for atrazine in the corn, 21 to 48, you'd have to add the effects of sugarcane to that in terms of the unemployment. Add the effects of sorghum. I've not done this, but I would imagine other people will start to add this to the story I've begun to develop here. Let me conclude and wrap up here. Corn is a very important crop to the U.S. economy. It's a very important crop to the world economy. A ban on atrazine and corn production in the United States would be a pure tax upon corn growers, corn farmers. It's basically going to be taking some of their income and taking it away from them. In some areas of public policy, you do something like ban a product or make some change in a marketplace, and you might be able to argue that something in another part of the economy, the macroeconomy, will pop up and replace that loss, or more than replace that loss. In the context of a ban on atrazine, there's nothing on the horizon that's going to pop up and even balance out the losses that would occur in the farming sector if atrazine were banned. As I mentioned, this is going to be devastating to farmers and devastating to the communities in which they live, the rural communities primarily in which they live. These communities are already have eaten into a lot of the muscle of their public policy sector, and the only thing left to eat is the bone. And that bone will be a loss of fire, police, schooling, and other educational activities, and indeed, and ironically, environmental things that occur in these cities. And finally, in conclusion, the last thing we need is to ban something that's a safe product that will cause more people to lose jobs in the United States economy, given our current condition. I look forward, along with Jerry, of taking your questions in the next few minutes together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Corsi. Jerry, did you have any follow-up comments you want to make before we open the floor to Q&A?
Well, I think just to highlight, Professor Corsi ended with a discussion about the implications more at a more focused level. And those of you that have a knowledge of rural communities, you know how important a single job can be, let alone a handful of jobs in a community. Sometimes you can talk job losses in total, and you can kind of lose the importance of that. But for those of us that live in small rural communities, we're very well aware of it. And I just think I was surprised when confronted with the total numbers. Again, there's certainly a range, and I appreciate the reason for giving a range. But even if you take the conservative side,
and you add whatever kind of conservative factor you want to with that. If you're talking on the low end side, anything close to that coming out of rural communities is, in fact, as Don says, devastating.